Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, January the 14th, 2026. 14 and a half minutes past the hour, and glad to have you with us along for the ride this morning. And it's going to be a very interesting program, and I want to get right to it because we have a guest on this morning who I've been wanting to talk to for the last week because of events in this country that are going on the national level, the state level, and certainly in regard to our gubernatorial race, which got a lot more interesting, and we certainly got a lot more informed on who the candidates are and who their lieutenant governor picks were as of last Wednesday. So a lot of ground to cover here in the allotted time we have in the first hour this morning with our guest, somebody I'm always glad to have on this program. He speaks his mind, and he has been in the governor's mansion before. He's the 68th governor of the great state of Ohio. Always a pleasure to welcome to these microphones Governor Ted Strickland. Governor, how are you?
I'm fine, and Scott, it sounds as if we're going to have some cold weather on our way here. I was just listening to your forecast and decided I need to, you know, prepare.
It sounds like early next week it might get a little chilly out there.
Absolutely. Well, how are you today?
You know, I'm doing great, but I'll tell you, there has been no slowing of the news cycle, certainly in the last couple weeks.
We are living through perilous times, Scott. We really are. This country has never experienced the kind of division and hate and cruelty at the hands of our own government, probably since maybe the 50s.
Mm. Governor, you sound like you're a little far away. Could you get a little closer to the...
Is that better?
That's much better. That's much better.
Good.
All right. Well, Governor, the first thing I want to bring up this morning is news this morning here in Ohio, and this has nothing to do with the gubernatorial race, and we want to talk about some national things for certain, but it is an interesting thing I'm sure you have an opinion on. Billionaire here in Ohio, Les Wexner, has now not only been subpoenaed by the House Oversight Committee for his ties to Jeffrey Epstein, but we're learning this morning that he will now be able to be subpoenaed by the Ohio State University victims in regard to the Dr. Richard Strauss sexual abuse charges. This is a man we've all revered for years. His name is on buildings all over Columbus, Ohio. I'm sure he had to cross your path at some point. What do you make of this with Les Wexner and everything that's going on with him?
Well, Scott, I have thought for quite some time that Mr. Wexner should be talked to about what happened with this child abuser who had worked for him, had at one time had power of attorney over his wealth and holdings, and it just seemed appropriate that he would be questioned about what he knew and when he knew it regarding this abhorrent behavior. Now, as far as the university is concerned, Les Wexner was in charge of that board. He was president of the Board of Trustees for a number of years. And it seems to me also to be appropriate for the victims who had been abused, sexually abused, while Mr. Wexner was chairman of the Board of Trustees. Not that he's being accused of anything, but he very likely would have information that may be relevant to the victims of the abuse in their legal efforts.
You know, Governor Strickland, I think the hard thing for this, this news story, for us here in Ohio, is this is the guy who has been such a proponent with his wealth of being a big supporter of Ohio State. His name is everywhere on this campus. And Jeffrey Epstein and Dr. Richard Strauss are not names that you want to be associated with. And at this time in his life, to be associated very heavily with both of them, it makes things look bad when this man's name is on all the buildings down there at Ohio State.
Well, I'm sure this is a painful experience for Les Wexner, because he has done so much for the university, but for other, you know, philanthropic causes, not just Ohio State, but many other universities, as a matter of fact. Harvard has his name over buildings in Harvard, at Harvard University. So he has had great wealth. He has shared that wealth with good causes, I believe. But that does not mean that he should not be asked about what he knew and when he knew it, when it came to Mr. Epstein's behavior as well as Dr. Strauss's behavior.
How, in your personal experiences over the years, however many there might have been with Mr. Wexner, how did you find him as a person?
Well, I did not find him to be a particularly warm person in terms of personal interactions. The one extensive conversation I had with him when I was governor, he called and asked if he could come to the governor's residence and talk with me, and of course I said yes. And he arrived with his security, as appropriate. And we talked about the university, and we talked about his participation on the Board of Trustees. And I was, you know, governor, and governors, as you know, in Ohio, appoints members to the university boards of trustees. I just think he was interested in my thinking regarding the Ohio University Board and what kind of people I may be interested in placing on that board.
Does any of this surprise you? Not that you were dear friends with the guy, but does any of this surprise you about the man you have heard about, known, met? Is this surprising to you that this has happened?
It is surprising to me that a man of great wealth, and Mr. Wexner, I believe, is the most wealthy person in the state of Ohio, and that somehow he would have allowed Jeffrey Epstein, a person with limited academic credentials, to occupy such an important part of his financial empire. I've never been able to really understand that. I've never met, to my knowledge, I think I may have met Mr. Wexner one time, but I've never understood how Mr. Wexner could entrap people with his apparently charisma and personality. It's just amazing to me that he was able to do that, and to develop these relationships with important people across the years while carrying on this despicable behavior that he engaged in.
You know, Governor, two quick questions on this, and then I want to move on to a lot of other things that we need to talk about here this morning. But, you know, to a lot of people in Ohio who are not billionaires, this is the worst example to them of what happens and how the little people get forgotten. As you said, he called, he wanted to meet with you, he came to the governor's mansion. I'm sure you're not the only governor that happened with. You know, most people can't call the governor and get a meeting at the governor's mansion with the governor, can't come in and talk about being appointed to the board of trustees because you couldn't even get that far to have that conversation. That money buys you access in Ohio, no matter what your qualifications are, and I'm certain that a lot more people in Ohio were qualified to be on the board of directors at Ohio State than Mr. Wexner, even though he might have had more money than them.
Well, what you say is absolutely true, Scott. But the fact is, many members of the university boards of trustees are people of significant wealth, and they are, I believe, expected to use their wealth to benefit the universities. But, you know, Gordon Gee came to me once when there was an opening on the board of trustees. He came to my office in the state house with the person who was then the president of the board of trustees, and he said to me, you know, Governor, we wanted to talk with you about some people that we think would be good to fill the vacancy on the board. And I said to him, Gordon, I already have someone that I want to put on the board. And he seemed a little taken back by that. And I said, furthermore, Gordon, let me tell you what I think a lot of people feel about the Ohio State Board of Trustees. They think it is too white. They think it is too male. They think it is too Republican. And they think it is too Columbus-centered. And Ohio State University belongs to all the people of the state of Ohio. And all the people of the state of Ohio should have an opportunity to serve on that board of trustees, all regions of the state, certainly. And so I chose the person that I thought would be the most appropriate member of the board of trustees. Because governors appoint members of the boards for our universities, and because they have such long tenures, I don't know that there was a single Democrat on any Ohio University Board of Trustees when I became governor. Most all were Republican. Maybe a couple were designated as independents. But it just is a very political process. And it is, I can tell you that people desperately want to be on the Board of Trustees at Ohio State University. Governor Bob Taft, before I assumed office, told me that perhaps the greatest pressure he got as governor was who to appoint to the Board of Trustees at Ohio State University. Think of that. I don't know. It's very troubling. And I think there needs to be some reform in that regard so that the universities are more fairly represented by all political philosophies and thinking that make up the people of our state.
One more question about this. With this looming over Mr. Wexner, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but we have seen pictures, we have seen emails, we have seen certainly connections with Mr. Epstein. I don't know that we've seen that proof in the OSU case, but maybe we will. With this looming over him, should his name still be on buildings down there? Should he still have positions down there that he still has while this is all going on. It's a very bad look for the university.
Well, Scott, just let me say that I have no reason to believe that Mr. Wexner has engaged in any kind of illegal or even unethical behavior. I don't think there's, to my knowledge, there's been no evidence that would indicate that. But I do believe, because of the positions that he held and the associations that he had, that it is appropriate for him to be questioned about those relationships. And like I say, when did he know about Jeffrey Epstein? What did he know, and when did he know it? And I think it's appropriate that he be asked those questions. In terms of the names on the buildings, I mean, he's given a lot of his wealth. He has. I want to believe his motives were pure. And Abigail, his wife, has given a lot, as you know, to Children's Hospital and other causes. But just because they're extremely wealthy does not mean that they should be treated any differently than any other citizen when it comes to getting information about what they knew and when they knew it.
Before we turn to the Ohio governor's race here, which is certainly making a lot of news right now, I want to talk about the big national story. Renee Good, shot and killed in Minnesota by ICE agents. It's being talked about everywhere. What do you make of what happened in Minnesota, I believe, a week ago today?
Scott, I think what's happening in Minnesota is almost unthinkable. That it could be happening in this country. We have people in military garb patrolling the streets. In some cases, as happened yesterday at a Target, where a woman who was an American citizen was thrown to the ground and placed into a vehicle against her will. She was an American citizen. The only thing she was doing was objecting to the behavior of the ICE officers. She wasn't threatening. She had no weapon. She was simply exercising her First Amendment rights. And we've all seen it if we've watched TV in the last few hours, where she was thrown to the ground in the Target store and taken out and taken away. I mean, you know, we see what's happening in Iraq, Iran, right? We see the people in Iran rising up against the despotic government there, and President Trump has encouraged them to continue their protests. And yet in this country, as an American citizens are exercising our First Amendment right to protest, many of our fellow citizens are being treated like they would be treated in China or Russia or Iran, as a matter of fact. And we even had one of our fellow citizens killed. She was killed. Some say she was murdered. I think that a nomenclature is yet to be determined, but the Trump administration has decided they're not even going to conduct an investigation. I mean, it is unthinkable. Scott, this year, our nation is 250 years old. We're celebrating our 250th birthday as a nation. And with the exception of the Civil War, this nation of ours, this democracy of ours, is under greater threat than it has been, certainly since the Civil War. And we've never had a president like the president we have today. who seems to be feeling as if there are no constraints on his behavior. He seems to feel like he can do any damn thing he wants to do and get by with it. And thus far, he is getting it by with it. But the American people are waking up. Well, almost 60% of the American people now, according to legitimate polls, think what Donald Trump is doing with this strong-arm tactic that he's employed is wrong. Over half the people in this country now think that ICE should be totally eliminated. So the American people are not with Donald Trump on this. They see what's happening and they're appalled. And they realize that it is contrary to everything that we were taught as children regarding the rule of law in this country. You know, police officers wear badges. They don't have masks. They identify themselves. These people wear masks. They won't say who they are. And they take people off the streets indiscriminately. I mean, it is reprehensible. And I am fearful. I am fearful, Scott, for the continuation of our democracy as we have known it, if this isn't brought to a halt.
Governor, I want to ask you this because we've all seen the camera angles of what happened in Minnesota with the ICE agent and Renee Good. Does Ted Strickland, former governor of Ohio, Ted Strickland, do you believe that Renee Good was murdered?
Scott, based upon what I have seen, I believe that her killing was not justified. But let me say something here. I say that based upon what I have seen. There has been no thorough investigation. And the Trump administration is now saying that they're not going to permit or conduct an investigation. And that's the problem.
So knowing
that... In the past, every time there was a killing by an officer of the law, that has been followed with an investigation. But this government of ours, under Donald Trump, is not even allowing the vehicle or the shell casings to be made available to the state authorities so that they can conduct an investigation. I mean, I believe this is a massive cover-up. Well, and I'm not willing to say that officer committed murder. I am willing to say that based on what I have seen, it appears that was a murder. But that needs to be determined after an investigation where everything is looked at. The shell casings, the car, everything needs to be a part of that investigation. And yet the Trump administration is covering things up. Scott, those are the things that happen in authoritarian regimes.
So
things happen in Russia and China and in Iraq and in other parts of this world of ours, but they ought not to be happening in the United States of America.
So just so, two points here before we turn to the governor's race. Because there will be no investigation, apparently, or until there is one, into this case, you believe from what you have seen and what you have looked at and the information that has been released, you believe it is murder, but you would like there to be an investigation.
I believe that the killing was unjustified, but that's my personal belief based on what I had seen.
And
I have not gotten the results of a fair and impartial investigation. And until we have that, it's going to be my opinion versus someone else's opinion versus someone else's opinion. The final determination needs to be determined by a thorough, non-partial, complete investigation. And the Trump administration is preventing that from happening. What are they afraid of? What are they wanting to cover up? That's the question that I think most Americans are feeling today.
And the other part of that, are you saying, we talked about this, this year is the 250th anniversary of the United States of America. You feel that Donald Trump, in power as our president, that this is the biggest threat this country has faced to democracy since the Civil War, and that this could be our last anniversary if something is not turned around?
I think what you have said is what I feel and think in my soul. I believe Donald Trump is a troubled human being. I think the truth is not in him. I think he is psychologically maladjusted. And I think he is a danger to the well-being of our democracy. I really feel that about this cruel man. Scott, he relishes in cruelty. In cruelty. And the members of his administration, this Miller, I hate to call anyone a Nazi, but I think he has characteristics that are not unlike a lot of the people who followed Adolf Hitler. I really believe that. And I believe that he is surrounded by people who are unwilling or afraid to speak up. And so we are in danger. This nation of ours that we love is in danger of our democracy disintegrating to the point where we are no longer able to experience our country as we have over the last 250 years.
Governor Strickland, I want to turn to the gubernatorial race here in Ohio. A week ago today, it certainly was a day for announcements in regard to that race, and I just want to take them in the chronological steps that they happened last week. The first thing that we saw last Wednesday was that the presumptive Republican candidate for governor, Vivek Ramaswamy, chose State Senate President Rob McCauley as his running mate. What did you make of Vivek Ramaswamy's choice?
You know, I don't know his choice very well. I know that he's in the Senate. He's been in the Senate really a relatively short period of time. I do know people who know him, and they tell me that he's not a bad guy. He's a pretty reasonable guy. But that's all I know about him.
Want to turn to the Democratic side. The same day, within hours of that announcement, Dr. Amy Acton, the presumptive Democratic nominee for governor, chose David Pepper, former head of the Democratic Party here in Ohio, I believe 2015 to 2020, also former councilman in Cincinnati, as well as a county commissioner in Hamilton County, as his running mate. We were all together back in October at Mary Ellen's birthday party. David Pepper was there. You were there. What do you make of the choice of David Pepper?
I think it's a wonderful choice. In fact, I had urged Amy to strongly consider David as her running mate. I think they make a great team. I think Amy Acton is going to be the first woman governor of the state of Ohio, and David Pepper is going to be a wonderful running mate with her.
For everybody who doubts that, because of 16 years of Republican governors, you were our last Democratic governor, by the way, and that people feel that Ohio is a Trump state. Why do you think she's going to be the first elected female governor of Ohio?
Well, because I don't believe Ohio is a Trump state, at least not to the extent that it has been in the recent past. Donald Trump is not as well thought of now as he was a year ago, and I believe that a year from now he will be even less well thought of because of these Gestapo tactics that he is employing in the cities of our country, plus the fact that he doesn't seem to care about the regular working person. You know, all he cares about is enriching himself and his sons and his daughter. He says affordability is a made-up term, and he doesn't seem to understand that Ohioans are struggling. But Ohioans are coming to terms with the fact that Donald Trump is a fraud when it comes to his claim to be for the working people. He is not. And he's earned billions of dollars since becoming president. Think of that. I mean, just in the last year, he's increased his wealth by billions while being president. Just unthinkable. And Amy Acton is a wonderful candidate. She is not a politician. She's a doctor. Amy Acton grew up in extreme poverty. You know, I grew up in a difficult situation at times. For a while, I actually slept in a chicken shack. But Amy Acton's difficulties as a child went well beyond anything that I experienced. And yet she overcame all of that. She went to medical school directly out of high school. Think of that. She's 60 years old. She's been a physician for 40 years. And during the COVID crisis, she was the voice of reason and stability. And Ohioans tuned in and they heard her speak about how to keep themselves safe. Her following is really not a political following. It's just a following of people in this state who experienced her as their doctor. As someone who was confident and reasonable and reassuring and helped Ohio get through a very difficult time with this COVID crisis. And Ohio came out of that in much better shape than many other states because of the leadership of Dr. Amy Acton.
Governor Strzok.
Now she wants to be the governor because she deeply cares. You know, the thing that Amy says that really I find it strikes true to me, she says, "I refuse to look away." And Amy Acton refuses to look away at the people in Ohio who are struggling, who are doing their best to survive in a difficult economy. And so I believe the choice is between the doctor and the con man. On the other hand, Ramaswamy is a person who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Everything in life has been given to him. He's never had to struggle for anything. He doesn't understand what life is like for regular working people. He flies around Ohio in a jet, and Amy Acton drives around Ohio in a Jeep that was made in Ohio. And I say that if you really want to boil this choice down to its bare essence, it's a choice between a man who flies around in a jet and Amy Acton, who has traveled miles and miles and miles throughout this state in a Jeep that's made in Ohio. And so I've watched, excuse me for talking so long, Scott, but I've gone to these meetings that Amy has with people. It is incredible the way people are drawn to her authenticity, to her sincerity. And I can't wait for Amy Acton and Ramaswamy to be standing on a debate stage.
You know,
because I think the contrast will demonstrate to the people of Ohio who's the con man who looks out for himself and his rich friends. Remember, he was a part of that Doge effort in Washington that was a complete failure. And now he says he wants to bring Doge to Ohio. He has no idea what the average person deals with on a daily basis. And Amy Acton knows as a result of what she's experienced in her own life as a child, as a doctor, as a wife and a mother.
Governor Strickland, I wanted to come to this point because Governor Celeste officially endorsed Amy Acton very early in her campaign. Mary Ellen Withrow has said, as of last week, that she will not endorse anybody until the primary is over. And I was looking this morning, and there seems to be some ambiguity because the last time we spoke, you said you would not officially endorse anybody until Tim Ryan made his decision because of your friendship with him. And as I looked this morning, there were some news stories that you had endorsed her and praised her, but not an official endorsement of her for governor. Have you now officially endorsed her as your choice for governor of Ohio?
Oh, absolutely I have. And let me explain to you. And I talked to Amy about this. I thought all along that Amy would be a great governor. But I said to Amy, I want you to understand why I'm waiting for Tim Ryan to make an official announcement that he's not running. And it's not because that I think Tim would be a better governor than you. Tim Ryan's a wonderful person and always been a dear friend. But I explained to Amy that when I ran for the Senate against Rob Portman, former Governor Dick Celeste endorsed Mr. Sittenfeld in that primary. And that was very hurtful to me because I'd always respected Dick Celeste and worked for Dick Celeste. And I think Dick Celeste was a great governor and a great person. But it really hurt me that someone that I considered a longtime friend would endorse someone else in that Senate primary. And I said to Amy, I don't want Tim Ryan to have the same feelings about me endorsing you over him.
The same
painful feeling that I had when Dick Celeste endorsed P.G. Sittenfeld. And so I was really upfront with Amy that I thought she was a great candidate, would be a great governor, but I simply wanted to wait until Tim made an official acknowledgement that he was not going to be a candidate.
Well, and as I said, when I was going through this morning, there was a little misrepresentation and ambiguity on the internet, as there can be, that you had endorsed her last December. I knew you had not done that. And that you praised her but had not endorsed her yet. So just so there is no ambiguity, you have absolutely officially endorsed her.
Not only that, I'm one of her biggest cheerleaders. I'm spreading the word about what a great candidate she is. I'm trying to help her in any way I can. I talk to her frequently. My wife and I had dinner with Amy and Eric just 2 or 3 nights ago. I think she's a very special kind of candidate. She may be the exact kind of candidate that we need at this time in our state and in our nation's history. Because she's not your average politician.
Without going into the personal conversation that you had over dinner a few nights ago, but as much as you can tell us, as the last elected Democratic governor in Ohio, and maybe the next, what was the tenor of the conversation? What did you talk about?
Oh, we just talked. Francis was there with us, obviously, and we just talked about what it was like being in the office of governor and how to maintain, you know, the kind of balance that you need while trying to serve the state. This is a big state, Scott. Over 11.5 million people live in the state of Ohio, and it's a very complex state. Big cities, great cities, small towns, rural areas, many languages, every ethnic representation you can imagine. Ohio is like a small United States of America. Everything you can find in the larger country can be found right here in our state. It's a very wonderful state, large state, complex state, but a very, very special place. And we talked about that and about Ohio. And we talked about education, certainly, because Amy's husband is an elementary school educator and coach. So my passion has always been education. She's concerned about education. She says education really saved her life because it enabled her to move out of those difficult childhood experiences into a larger world. And think of that. She left high school and went directly to medical school. Think of that.
That's
so she's a very special person. She's so kind and thoughtful and caring. And I think the people of Ohio and the people of this country are ready for someone who's thoughtful and kind and caring. And Amy stresses the fact that kindness is not weakness. Kindness is not, we don't have to be cruel toward each other. And we're getting back to what we talked about earlier in this show, Scott. What's happening across the country is utter cruelty. It's cruel to take students on their way to, you know, soccer practice and rip them off the streets, and I mean it's just unthinkable what's happening to people in this country today. It reminds me of, you know, of what you would expect in China or Russia. It really does.
Governor Strickland, there's two more questions I want to get in here before we run out of time. And you may be the most qualified person I can think of to answer this next question, because last week, former Ohio representative, Republican, and Republican candidate for governor, Jim Renacci, was on the show. And we were talking about the gubernatorial race, and he was talking about Vivek Ramaswamy's chances. And he said that he has talked to Vivek Ramaswamy and said that it is going to be a problem that you are of the Hindu religion to win in Ohio amongst the Republican Party. Now, that's what Jim Renacci said. Now, Governor Strickland, you have been a governor of Ohio. You have also been a Methodist minister. You have also, you also understand the people of Ohio. Is Vivek Ramaswamy, being of the Hindu religion, going to be a problem for him in those rural counties like Wyandotte, Marion, Meigs, Scioto, that Republicans have to win big?
I don't know. It's my honest answer. In this country, I think there should be no religious test to hold public office. I think our founders made that quite clear. I don't think it's necessary the religion. I think it's the values that Ramaswamy represents. Ramaswamy has referred to the people of Ohio as lazy. His word. That's his word. He's on the record. I'm not making that up. he's indicated that Ohioans aren't successful because they're lazy. Well, listen, Scott, I grew up with three brothers who were cement masons. I grew up with a father who was a steel worker. I want to tell you, Ramaswamy doesn't know the people of Ohio. He's grown up in a bubble. He's always been a rich kid. And so he doesn't understand the people of Ohio. So I think that's the issue with Ramaswamy, not necessarily the fact that he's a Hindu, but the fact that he's living in a bubble and he doesn't understand people in Ohio. He doesn't respect people in Ohio. Are there some lazy people in Ohio? I guess. I'm sure there are. You know, there's some lazy people everywhere. But most Ohioans are just decent, hardworking people who want to be a good neighbor and a good parent and a good example. And I deeply respect the people of Ohio. I love the people. Listen, the people of Ohio embraced me. Gave me the privilege of being the congressman from the 6th congressional district and the governor of this great state. Oh, I will never have a diminished appreciation for the people of this state. They've been so good to me, and they're good to other people. I mean, we're not a lazy people, and I think that's Ramaswamy's problem. Not the fact that he's a Hindu, but the fact that he looks down upon the people of Ohio who are not of his class.
Well, Governor Strickland,
I'm not saying of his religion. I'm saying of his class.
Of his class.
He thinks he's special.
Governor Strickland, in our final 5 minutes, I've got to get some questions in about our current governor, who is now in his last year, Mike DeWine. Interestingly enough, the same day that Vivek Ramaswamy announced his lieutenant governor candidate, Mike DeWine endorsed him. In December, Governor DeWine was asked about endorsing him. At that time, he said he needed to know him better. Within hours of him choosing Rob McCauley, DeWine endorsed him. And this is what he said. He said, "With the election year upon us, I am joining Republicans across Ohio in supporting our dynamic ticket for governor led by Vivek Ramaswamy. Ohio is winning new business projects from the coast, and Vivek will keep the momentum going. Vivek Ramaswamy knows that Ohio is the best state to build a business, raise a family, and pursue your vision for the American dream." What do you make of Mike DeWine's endorsement within hours of his Ramaswamy's lieutenant governor pick?
Well, Scott, I believe that is a boilerplate kind of endorsement. I don't see anything in that endorsement that is particularly heartfelt or personal regarding Governor DeWine's feeling about Ramaswamy. I think he's a Republican and he endorsed a Republican candidate. My personal belief is that there are many people that Mike DeWine would have preferred to be the Republican candidate than Ramaswamy. Certainly Jim Trussell, Mr. Yost, and perhaps many others. Let me say this about Mike DeWine. You know, he's a Republican, I'm a Democrat. But I think Mike DeWine is the most sane, reasonable, decent politician among the Republicans at the State House. And I have that level of respect for him. We disagree about a whole lot of things. But I feel like Mike DeWine, as could be expected, endorsed the candidate of his party. But I don't sense any enthusiasm on the part of Mike DeWine for Ramaswamy. I just don't sense that at all. Well, I think I don't know this for sure, but my thinking is that he was very hopeful that Tressel would be the Republican nominee. In fact, he had even asked the Republican Executive Committee to refrain from endorsing Ramaswamy when they did, because Jim Tressel had not yet completely ruled out running himself. So I don't think, I'm not in Mike DeWine's head. I don't know what's in his heart. My personal feeling is that he just simply did what he needed to do as a Republican, but with not a lot of enthusiasm.
Well, the thing that may point to what you just said, and this shocked a lot of people back in late December, because Amy Acton has been taking a lot of heat for how she handled COVID here in Ohio. She's been taking that heat from Vivek Ramaswamy's campaign. And then here came Governor Mike DeWine, who did appoint her to that position during the time of COVID, or prior to COVID, but he had appointed her to that position. And he said in an interview, if people were knocking her for her handle, how she handled COVID, and this was Mike DeWine's quote, "The decisions that were made during COVID were my decisions. So no one should blame someone else if they don't like it. The buck stops with me."
And that was a wonderful, wonderful thing for him to have done. And when I read that, Scott, I thought he is just simply expressing the truth, because as the governor, you are, that's where the buck stops. But I think he knew that statement would be helpful to Amy. And by the way, I believe people who live here in the capital city are living in a bubble by and large. And all the politicos were saying, Democrats and Republicans were saying, oh, they're going to kill her because she encouraged us to wear masks and all that stuff. Scott, people don't give a damn about that. That's old news. And rather than feel negative toward her, what we're picking up in polling and in meetings all across Ohio is that people see her as their public doctor. They see her as someone who day after day stood and talked to them and reassured them and gave them good information. And rather than it be a negative, in my judgment, it's a huge positive for her. Listen, this person has never run statewide, right? Never run statewide. She's never been a political candidate statewide or for any local office. And yet in the polling, the last poll had her 1 point ahead of Ramaswamy. Now, how is that possible? That is possible because people got to know her during that COVID crisis. And unlike the politicos who seem to think they know all about it, the people out there in the state of Ohio who watched her day after day after day admire her. That's why she's running even with Ramaswamy right now. And like I said, the latest poll had her one point ahead. How is that possible?
Yep, 1 point ahead.
People were feeling so negative about her. It's a positive. They see her as sort of like the family doctor.
Governor Strickland, 30 seconds left to go here. This is a long pass to throw you. You've known Mike DeWine a long time. This is his last year as governor. How will history look back on the gubernatorialship of Mike DeWine?
I think rather positively. I think Governor DeWine could have been a more effective governor if the radicals in the legislature had permitted him to be so. But given what he had to work with at the State House, I think he's by and large been a positive governor. I especially appreciate what Governor DeWine has done in terms of children and children's health and those kinds of issues. So Yeah, I think he can leave the office with his head held high.
There we go. The 68th governor of the great state of Ohio, Governor Ted Strickland. Governor Strickland, it is always a thoughtful and interesting conversation. I thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Scott. Have a great day, and I hope all your listeners have a great day as well.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Former governor of Ohio, Ted Strickland, will be back right after this.
Coach, school counselor, someone you know.